You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Saturday, the 17th of March. Plenty of great action to come on Saturday as the racing keeps rolling following the Cheltenham Festival. We'll hopefully have the Uttoxeter, of course, and Midlands Grand National, but that is subject to an 8 a.m. inspection. Whatever racing there is will be live on Racing Radio, of course, and you can listen to that online or on the app with us here at William Hill. But for now, as we record this on Friday afternoon, we are still reeling from 4 days of fantastic action at the Cheltenham Festival. My name's John Gibby. To look back on the last 4 days, I'm joined by Gary Capewell. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Very good, thank you. This is the best week of the year, and we all know that. And the fact that I live in Uttoxeter means that it's even more a special year, week of the year, because obviously we've got the Midlands Grand National to look forward to tomorrow. But I was lucky enough to be at Cheltenham yesterday. Great day down there in the sunshine. I think we've been treated. There was a worry about the ground. Okay, it's been soft, heavy in places. There has been some tired finishes, but it's been a fantastic festival. Really, really have enjoyed the action. And I think we've seen some very, very taking performances.
Have you had a good Cheltenham yourself?
Yeah, well, the Naps just won the Gold Cup, so that's good. Native of the horse, so I backed for the race last year, and I napped him as we record this on Friday afternoon. I napped him on Friday, so pleased. If ever there was a partnership that was just made for each other, it's Richard Johnson and this horse. The way that he just attacks his fences, the horse, and Richard Johnson asked him to come up, and he responded with some really good leaps. And as I say, he was third in the race last year, despite the Tizards not being in the best of form. This time around, they've come into the race in better form. Horses at the yard have, and obviously, yeah, two winners on the day, 50-1 and 5-1 thus far, with a couple more runners still to come as we record this.
Well, let's cast our mind back to Tuesday. Feels like a long time ago. The first
it does,
race,
doesn't it?
The Supreme Novices Hurdle, when we were all still so full of hope and dreams of what might
those lifetime changing hackers were still live.
They really were. They really were. And then they all went down. Well, not all of them. Several of them went down. Somerville Boy crossed the line in front in the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Kalashnikov was back in second, with Mengli Khan third in the Festival Curtain Raiser. And Somerville Boy has confirmed form with Kalashnikov from back at Sandown, Gary. And Tom George has made the point afterwards that he can't understand why the horse has been sent off at 9-1 when he's beaten Kalashnikov last time they've met.
Yeah, it was slightly odd, wasn't it? It's easy to say after the events. But obviously Kalashnikov had gone and won in handicap company afterwards, but there was no fluke about Somerville Boy's victory at Sandown. There was no fluke about his victory in the Supreme. In fact, you could argue his value for a lot more than the winning distance of, in the end, it was only a neck, but obviously he made that bad mistake at the second last, landed on his back legs, and he did well to recover from that, and he didn't exactly jump the last well and meet it, you know, full of running, and then he went on again. So yeah, plenty of positives to take from his performance going forward. Ultimately, I think his future does lie ever slightly further. And Kalashnikov will be seen better when he goes over fences. I think he's got the size and scope to be jumping fences. But the winner, he'll be stepping up in trip, I'd imagine. He seems like a stayer to me. The favourite, Get a Bird, was obviously a disappointing favourite in that particular race, just a little bit keen and just didn't seem to run his race, unfortunately. But yeah, it was a good winner in Somerville Boy.
Somerville Boy won the Supreme, and 40 minutes later we saw Footpad win the Arkle. You can't help but get away from the feeling that to an extent Petit Mouchoir and St. Calvados have set this up for Footpad by dashing off onto the horizon. However, it's a great ride from Ruby Watts.
Great ride. I completely agree. I think it was Davy Russell and Aidan Coleman, wasn't it, who went off quite quickly on Petit Mouchoir and St. Calvados, respectively. Footpad was 20 lengths behind them at one stage. They teed it up for him, simple as that. And the fact that he might, well, he'll be staying over this sort of trip, and he's just looked so electric over his fences. He made that one mistake, didn't he, down the back, but it didn't stop his momentum at all. And the prospect of him and Altiore clashing at some stage, maybe in the champion chase next year, should they both choose to stick at the 2 mile division. More on Altiore a little bit later. That is a race to really look forward to.
It's interesting you say he's going to stay at this trip, but Willie Mullins has talked about him being a Gold Cup horse in time, and it seemed a little bit surprising when he said that at the time.
I was, actually, yeah, but I suppose, you know, we don't try and tell the master trainer what to do, but I've always seen him as a speedy horse, but in time as he gets older, I suppose stepping up in trip will be an option.
Well, speaking of speedy horses, the Champion Hurdle is the feature race on the first day of the festival, and Bouvardet picked up back-to-back victories in the race, but only just the odds-on favourite was made to work hard to beat Late Gamble Melon.
Yeah, who has obviously been quite a hyped horse over the last couple of seasons, and I thought he was going to win, actually, coming down towards down the last. But Bouvardet dug in up the hill, found a bit extra on ground that I don't think he was particularly relishing. A couple of the winners of the championship races, I would say the same about, well, certainly Altiore as well, but again, more on him a little bit later on. But yeah, Bouvardet definitely did not really enjoy the ground, but his class has got him through. I was talking about this on William Hill Radio earlier on. It'd be interesting to see what horses come through from the Supreme Novices Hurdle. I don't really see many of them, because I think some of them will be going up in trip. Kalashnikov's going to go over fences, and the others have all been left with something to prove on the back of that. So how many new shooters, in inverted commas, there'll be for him to take him on next year? Perhaps Sam Crow might come down in trip, who knows? But on that performance, provided the ground probably isn't as soft, it will take some taking back in the race next year as well.
Finally, for the Tuesday, we've got to put in a quick mention for the other great one on the card, the Mare's Hurdle. And a surprise in this race, Gary. Benny Dedio beating Midnight Tour, who was another surprise, back in second. But Appleshade, the odds on favourite, only third.
Yeah, underperforming, and there was something about her early at an early stage I wasn't particularly keen on. She seemed to almost duck out going out onto the final circuit. But Benny Desdieu, who'd been campaigned over fences thus far over in Ireland, fantastic training performance again from Willie Mullins, and she just got the better of Midnight Tour. One who would have been a shock winner, obviously, in second place. But yeah, Benny Desdieu. Willie Mullins obviously got a fantastic record in this particular race, and he won it again.
On to the Wednesday, and one of the big hype horses of the week, Sam Crow, getting things underway by winning the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. And there was a point in this race, Gary, where turning for home, he was just cruising alongside the other horses. Then up the hill, the riders had to get a little bit serious with him, but ultimately he still won fairly impressive.
I thought he was idling a touch, I must admit. I think it's going to take a good horse to get to the bottom of this horse, if you see what I mean, because I don't think there's going to be many things that can get him off the bridle the way that he travels through his races. He's been hyped up, obviously, for a reason, to be perfectly honest. And yeah, the sky could easily be the limit. I mean, in the end, he's won by 2 3/4 lengths, but I thought he was dossing all the way up the run-in, and he put Black Op, who's a good horse himself, to the sword in no uncertain terms with Next Destination. One of the horses I'll be taking out of the race for next year when he goes over fences, and he could end up in something like the RSA the way that he stayed on strongly up the hill to nab third. But Sam Crow, will watch and learn what happens with him for the rest of the season. I should imagine Punchestown will be on the horizon, and then we can talk about where the targets may lie next year, whether he stays over hurdles, drops down in trip, or goes over fences. But a very exciting horse to look forward to.
As with the majority of horses in this ownership of Giggins Downhouse stud, they seem pretty desperate to try and turn him into a staying chaser in time.
Yes.
He hasn't necessarily been showing all those signs.
No, he goes with a lot of zest in his races, and I don't think he's short of speed either. That's why I thought they might be tempted to drop him back down in trip, and if you wanted to keep him over hurdles, run him in the Champion Hurdle, because he's still young enough to have a couple of years over fences to look forward to.
Sam Crow then won the Ballymore. 40 minutes later, the RSA was won by another favourite, and another Irish-trained favourite, Presenting Percy, getting the job done for Monoli in second place with Elegant Escape back in third. And presenting Percy, it was towards the back of the field for a lot of this race, Gary, but David Russell hasn't panicked. And Monoli, who was up towards the head of affairs, hasn't made it up the hill having made the running. And presenting Percy's come through and picked it up and won.
Excellent bit of training. And from this train's only got a few horses, obviously. Patrick Kelly, but he's got some decent ones, and obviously this horse had already won at the festival before. He was confidently ridden. He was just lobbing along out the back, brought steadily through the field, and was one of the easiest winners of the week, really. Monoli tried to go with him, just couldn't match his turn of foot. And on the back of this performance, he was obviously quoted as favourite for next year's Gold Cup. I'm not sure what that market looks like now, but they are the obvious routes for him to be running in next time around. I know he finished behind our Duke at Gorham, but he certainly wasn't knocked about in that race, and it was a trip much short of his best. He's an exciting horse, and he's again a very lightly raced horse with a lot, good bit more to come, hopefully, as long as he stays sound.
What about Monoli? He raced fairly keenly throughout some of the race. Would you drop him down?
Too keen, yeah. I should imagine connections are probably ruined the fact that they didn't run him in the JLT chase now, especially considering how that race was run. I think that race would have been tailor-made for him, the way that it's panned out on the ground on the day, but you don't know that beforehand, obviously. And obviously he got good form in the Flogas Novice Chase and deserved his place in the lineup.
The Champion Chase, the Queen Mother Champion Chase, the feature race on the Wednesday of the Cheltenham Festival, and Altior, who had been odds on for much of the preparation up to the race, has been sent off even money after a late injury scare up against two fantastic two-mile chasers in Min and Duvan. And despite not travelling well throughout the race, Gary has come out on top in the end.
On ground that I thought he hated. He really didn't look like he was enjoying it for me. But I thought he was beat at various stages as well, but his class has just got him through. And turning for him, you saw him switch to the outside, and it's like he took off. And he readily put seven lengths between himself and Min, who's no slouch, let's be honest, especially in those conditions. But he just powered away from him. Better ground will see him in a better light if we are to see him again this year. I should imagine going up in trip, well, we are going to see him again this year. He's only had two runs, of course. Going up in trip will help ultimately. I see him potentially as maybe a King George type of horse, but whether they want to step up in trip in the Melling Chase, I'm not sure, but I don't think he'd have any sort of issues with it, and I'd actually like to see him over that type of trip. But the fact that if it's good ground at the festival next year, or maybe not as soft as what we've seen this week, the prospect of him and Footpad coming down the hill together heading down to the second last is something to look forward to. But like all good horses, like all good champions, when conditions aren't in their favour, he just rolled his sleeves up, knuckled down, and got the job done.
Got to put in a mention for Duvan, who on his reappearance first run since this race last year was travelling really well when coming down.
Yeah, it's very much a question of sort of what if with him, wasn't it, after what happened. He was travelling well. Patrick Mullins said he felt like the old Duvan. We can only take his word for that, of course, but the way that he went through that race, it would have been interesting. We'll never know, unfortunately, what would have happened, but he was certainly travelling a lot better than he was in the race the previous year.
It's pretty uncharacteristic. He's usually quite a good jumper, isn't he, Duvan? Do you think it's just because he's quite fresh, having not raced for a year?
Possibly, yeah. He just took a step and dived at the ditch, which you do see a lot of. I mean, Moscow Flyer got rid of the rider there a couple of times in the past, and you do tend to get a lot of fallers at that point in the race. It's just when they're beginning to up the ante, but he completely stepped and guessed at it and paid the price.
Anything else you'd like to mention from the Wednesday? We've gone through the Grade 1 contests.
Yeah, the bumper. The horse, actually, that I want to take out of the out of that particular day, and he didn't hit the frame. I think he was only about eighth or ninth in the end. Eighth, Mercy Mercy Me. It was a little bit keen, huge individual, was pushed along, and he did hang a little bit. He was still learning, pretty much on the job, really. But he flew up the hill. He wasn't beating a huge amount in the end. I think breeding suggests further in time, but he'd only won the one race prior to this. But it was very much sort of second day at school for him, and he'll be interesting next time around and next season when he goes over further and over obstacles, because he's got the size and scope to be doing it.
Mercy, Mercy Me won to take out the champion bumper, won by Relegate, of course, the final race on the Wednesday of the festival. On to the Thursday now. And we opened up with the JLT, and Shattered Love has come through to win this. A few of the horses who were fancied have disappointed in one form or another, or just come up short. Terrafort, the favourite, second at 3-1.
Yeah, there was obviously a fairly small sort of field for this, and there weren't many in contention turning for home. Terrafort had travelled particularly well, a little bit too well perhaps, and was a little bit tired coming up the hill, and had to give best to Shattered Love, who belted the last she did. But crucially, she was getting £7 from the horses chasing her. She was the only mare in the lineup, and she powered up the hill to beat Terrafort, with Benatar running on for third. But not that many landed a blow in the race. Invitation Only made a very bad error down the back straight and was pulled up immediately after. Finian's Oscar shaped well to a certain point, but isn't progressing perhaps as we would have liked, and I'd say nothing else really landed a blow. So the race fell apart a little bit, but take nothing away from the winner, who, as I say, powered up the hill to win well.
The Ryanair Chase 250, I believe, technically speaking, now the feature race on this day of the
most valuable. So yeah,
in the break from tradition, Balco de Flo has won the Ryanair from under. So disappointing odds on favourite, 8-11. The defending champion, of course, but found one too good this year.
Yeah, was quite keen in the early stages. Such an exuberant jumper, this horse. You can understand primarily why he's been kept to this trip. I actually thought in this race last year, on much better ground, he was getting very tired up the hill as Super Lieutenant closed on him most of the way home. But he was keen early on, with Q Card leading, and Paul Townend took him to the front. After they jumped four fences, he was exuberant, and I thought it was a very clever bit of riding from Davy Russell on Balco the Flow, with about four or five left to jump. Just came up his inside, and just to light up on the show a little bit, because he sensed the horse coming to him, and he just galloped on again. Ultimately, I didn't make that much difference, but I still thought it was a very clever bit of race riding from Davy Russell, as they were just beginning to head down the hill, just to get on the show a little, you know, because I know he'd run over this distance before, but that was back in France where they crawl early on. Well, he didn't do that here, and ultimately he just got perhaps going a little bit too soon. But anyway, that didn't make any difference, that said. But even still, I'd actually back Balco the Flanty Post for this race, but I'd ripped up pretty much given up the fact that, you know, because he was very weak in the market leading up to the race, and the ground had gone against him. But obviously got good form from Ireland over further than this. He didn't jump the last particularly well, but it will please Mr. Ryanair himself, because he's finally won his own race.
Finally. And have we finally seen the last of Q Card, Gary, pulled up in the race?
Well, yeah, he didn't travel particularly well, and I should imagine he owes connections nothing to them out while running at Aintree. I should imagine that will be his final race, I would imagine. But yeah, he never really travelled with any zest at all.
And the other grade one on the Thursday, the sort of secondary feature race, if you like, traditionally the feature race anyway, the Stayers Hurdle. And Penn Hill has come through to spring. Well, you say a minor surprise, I say a minor surprise, but not really a minor surprise. Last year's Albert Bartlett winner had been talked up by many as a potential winner of the race coming into it, but just had the layoff to overcome.
Yeah, what a training performance this was from Willie Mullins, the horse who'd obviously been off the track best part of a year. He'd only ran once since he'd won this, won the Albert Bartlett. He'd ran at Punchestown. He was second in a Grade One contest there. Off the track the best part of a year to win on his seasonal return. Not many horses do that on their seasonal returns, win championship races. I can't think of any that have done that really of late. And he was there was quite a lot of horses in with a chance turning for him. I didn't think they went particularly quickly. I thought Sam Spinner, I think this race he'll learn so much for this particular race, and just wonder whether if Joe Colliver could have the ride back again, not criticising him at all, but whether he might have tried and made a little bit more use of Sam Spinner, who didn't jump that well, I didn't think either. He belted a couple. He just set a sort of steady pace. I think if he'd have gone a little bit quicker, because when he was still there turning for home after the second last, but the way that Super Sunday and Penn just loomed up round his outside, horses haven't been able to do that against him in the past. Obviously this was a much better race, but for me, if you were going to try and beat the likes of Super Sunday, who's got a good turn of foot, we know he's a grade one winner over 2 miles, of course, you're going to have to try and eat the horse's stamina out. So that's eventually what happened, because Penhill stayed on stronger up the hill. But Sam Spinner also, having been briefly out of pace, got a second wind and absolutely flew up the hill to be fifth. Colin Sister and Holstone running well as well. They both stayed on strongly up the hill. And Super Sunday, you know, a festival regular. Horse who's done well here in the past. Obviously, last year won the big handicap hurdle on the Wednesday. I thought when he was probably going to win coming down to the last, but Penhill just a little bit stronger up the hill and just managed to fend Super Sunday off. It was an open renewal. Don't think it was the best renewal ever, but full credit to Connections for having the horse 100% ready for the day on his first run for the best part of a year.
The fourth and final day of the Cheltenham Festival gets underway with the Triumph Hurdle. And this year's renewal was won by Far Clever, Mr. Adjudicator, and Sayo. Apple Shakira, not only the favourite for this, Gary, but literally the price collapsed in the 24 hours before the race, yet she's been disappointing in the end.
She was disappointing in the end. The race didn't really sort of pan out how we thought it might do, really, but William Hill had obviously quite a few in the race. Stormy Ireland made, or tried to make, all the running, went off fairly quickly and came back to them in the end, and well, fell when well held already at the last, and it was left for Far Class and Mr. Adjudicator to fight out the finish, with Far Class reversing the recent Irish form with Mr. Adjudicator. They were 1 and 2, but in the other order in the Triumph trial at Leopardstown. Shakira stayed on in the closing stages, but could only grab third. And, yeah, disappointing there for Connections of Apples at Shakira. But Far Class did it well enough. Both these two horses that were 1 and 2 have come from the flat. Don't, obviously, you would imagine they're going to stay at this trip. I know they've both stayed on fairly well. Mr. Adjudicator might go over a little bit... might get a little bit further in time, but Far Class will be a horse that I'm sure will be campaigned with the Champion Hurdle in mind next year. Whether it would be good enough or not is a completely different matter.
Quite often with this race, it turns out that it's sort of a little division of its own, and except for the odd sort of standout contender, you think of Apple's Jade, for example, who was the sister of Apple's Shakira, of course, not that many progress to the top level in open company.
No, it's difficult for them, isn't it? And I think that will probably be the case again here in this race. Apple Shakira, I should imagine, will be stepped up in trip.
That was the Triumph Hurdle then. Farkless winning it for Gordon Elliott. The Albert Bartlett at 2.50 was the next grade one on the cards. And we really did see a surprise here. Kilbrecken Storm winning at 33-1 for Colin Tizard. The first leg of his quickfire double on the Friday of the festival, beating OK Corral and Santini, the favourite, finishing third in the end.
A real war of attrition, this. This horse got a nice run through. It was actually not too far off the pace as Real Steel, Fabulous Starga, in the same colours as Real Steel, went off like a scalded cat. Tried to make all of the running, went a good way clear. The main group of runners headed by OK Corral were closing, along with the favourite Santini. They just couldn't get on terms. And Kilbrecken Storm picked up the pieces, took over from Fabulous Starga, coming down towards the last. And ultimately was too strong for OK Corral, who stayed on nicely to grab second. And Santini was a good way back throughout the contest, running on to grab third in the end. But a good performance from the winner, who looks the sort who might make into an RSA horse for next season.
At 3.30 was the final grade one of the festival and the feature race of the Friday and the entire meeting. And that's the Timoco Cheltenham Gold Cup, of course, and Native River. A fantastic front-running performance and a fantastic front-running ride from Richard Johnson, you mentioned a little bit earlier on. Gary has beaten Might Bite, the favourite, by 4.5 lengths, and they were the only two who were really ever in it.
Yeah, a spine-tingling Cheltenham Gold Cup, which Native River got the better of Might Bite in. They were 1 and 2 throughout. I thought they'd gone fairly steadily early on, but they gradually wound up the tempo. Native River's jumping was spectacular. When Dickie Johnson asked him for a big leap, he responded, and he answered all the riders' urgings. My bike travelled well. You just saw him on the run down towards the second last. How much Mikko was just at pains, really, just to try and hold on to the horse. I don't think he had anything left. In the end, they were one and two, and they were a long way clear, and they had the race between themselves for a long, long way. You always got the impression, though, that if what was going to happen when My Bike came off the bridle, Native River just ground it out from the front. A horse who obviously has come into this year's renewal a lot fresher than last year. Last year he'd already carried big weights to success in the Hennessy and the Welsh Grand National. Well, it was his stamina that won it, well, stamina and jumping that won him the day, because he was, as I say, at it from a good way out. Dickie Johnson just niggled him coming down the hill just to try and get Nico off the bridle on My Bike. It didn't happen till turning for home, but you knew Native River was always going to dig in and answer every one of Richard Johnson's urgings. My Bike came off the bridle coming down towards the last. He's, as I say, he kept on all right, but you just saw him wobble a little bit again to the right. The winner was tired, but he was understandably tired because he'd set such searching gallop from a long way from home, and some of those leaps that he'd been putting in as well would have been using up energy too, because he was really bold at quite a lot of the fences, and in the end he ran out the winner by four and a half lengths in the end from Might Bite, nicely clear of Anibal Fly, and rode to respect in third and fourth. But it was a brilliant Gold Cup.
Native River, the 2018 Gold Cup winner, winning it for Colin Tizard and Richard Johnson, of course, in the saddle. Well, the National Hunt train doesn't stop there, Gary. There's still fantastic action to come on Saturday live on Racing Radio. The feature race, of course, coming from Uttoxeter, but there's also good supporting action at the likes of Kempton and Funwell. We'll just quickly say that Uttoxeter needs to pass an 8 a.m. inspection, so we hope that it does that.
As long as it doesn't snow too much, trust me, that will be on.
There we go. You've heard it from the horse's mouth. No pun intended.
Exactly.
Gary Capewell thinks it will be on as long as it doesn't snow too much. And if it is on, what do you fancy, either there or elsewhere, Gary?
Yeah, well, we'll begin with the Midlands Grand National at 3:35, obviously the second longest chase in the calendar. Full field, as you'd expect. Good prize money, the most valuable handicap of the week, actually, bizarrely.
Including Cheltenham.
Oh. 70,000 to the winner for this particular year's renewal. Yeah, if you look at some of the races in comparison, some of the Cheltenham handicaps, this is the most valuable handicap of the entire week. Silsoul for the top weight for Bryony Frost and Paul Nichols is interesting. Finished fifth in the Welsh National, unseated the rider last time out. Interesting, Bryony rides this ahead of Milan's Bar, who obviously she rode to win the Classic Chase back in January. We've got a Roland Merritt Chase winner in Get On the Jaeger, who ran a cracker when finishing second with last seen. I think he's been targeted with this race in mind, and he's an out-and-out galloper. Ben's interesting as well. Made all women in the London National at Sandown. A bit disappointing there last time out, but in a better race, the veteran. Western Climate's been in good form. Regal Flow won the other day, and another who looks an out-and-out galloper. And a few of these horses obviously ran in the Ida Chase as well when they were last seen. West of the Edge fared best of those, finishing second behind Baywing. There are a couple of others obviously ran in that race. Hainan was fourth. Milan's Bar finished in fifth. And the man from Nella was pulled up in that race. The horse that I liked, though, actually fell in that race, Back to the Thatch, who'd won at Chepstow on his previous outing before that back in January. I thought he was still going well when he came to grief at the 16th in the Ida. Obviously, he was still a fair way from home, but he was, well, not that far from home, actually, but I thought he was going particularly well. He'll stay well. He's out of Westerner. He's by Westerner, rather, I should say.
Yeah, that would be quite the feat if it was.
It would be quite the feat, wouldn't it? A lightly raced 6-year-old. The fact that he was still going well in that Ida Chase is a big plus, and the fact that that race will have learnt him a little bit more about the hurly-burly nature of competitive handicaps will also see him in good stead. So back To the Thatch is the selection in the Midlands National at 3:35.
Back to the Thatch, the first selection for Gary on Saturday. And what is your other selection?
That goes in the previous race, the 3 o'clock, just under 2.5 miles, the trip for the Handicap Hurdle. A field of 12 runners going to post for it. Du Soleil, I think, is quite interesting in the first time hood for Venetia Williams and Tom Scudamore. Pulled up when last seen, but did win a novice hurdle here back in November. They'd finished second at Leicester in between two incompletions. Interesting runner with very little weight on his back. Klein, obviously the class act of the race. The jumping could do with the brushing up a little bit, but and he's also still a good bit above his last winning mark, which would be a bit of a concern with him. Overtown Express comes back over hurdles, has been running over fences. Pearl Swan seasonal debut, been off the track for 15 months. Apples and Pierres, I think, has probably been targeted with this race in mind. The 10-year-old, won't mind conditions, finished second here and at Chepstow last on its last two outings. But I like the John Joe O'Neill run at Flemingport, who won a maiden hurdle at Hereford back in January, followed that success up at Lingfield last time out. That was just under 4 weeks ago. Handicap debut, a mark of 127, lightly raced 5-year-old. Good bit more to come. Aidan Coleman riding, I should say, for John Joe O'Neill. Flemingport, the pick in the 3 o'clock race at Uttoxeter.
Flemingport in the Handicap Hurdle up at 3 o'clock. It's live on Racing Radio, of course, along with the rest of Saturday's racing and the rest of the jump season. Thanks so much for joining us for Cheltenham this week, and we look ahead, more great racing, of course, the likes of Aintree to come Punchestown as well, all on Racing Radio and on the podcast as well. Make sure you tune in every day for the latest racing news and top selections on the action. I've been John Gibby, and Gary Capewell, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.